And welcome to Racing Only Better ahead of the St. Leger at Doncaster this weekend, and of course Irish Champions weekend at Leopardstown. And the current delighted to be joined by Mr. Kevin Blake. Harry Kev.
Hello, excellent Hugh. What a weekend to look forward to now. Genuinely, we say it every week, but we mean it this time.
Yeah, absolutely. Cracking racing ahead. Can't wait for it. And some brilliant races to decipher. And stepping into the hot seat once again is James Millman. James, how are you?
I'm very good, thank you very much. Yeah, great weekend to look forward to.
Yeah, it's a cracker. So lads, we'll get straight because we've a lot of races to discuss. So Doncaster, the 145 is the first we're going to talk about. It's a Portland handicap over five furlongs. Hurricane Ivor is your 9-2 favourite. Joal is in there 10-1 for Michael Dodds. Copper Knight 10-1. When the Deal is Done at 10s, as is Just Another Bottle and Digital. Look, so Kev, we have a 9-2 favourite Hurricane Ivor. Is he the most likely winner, or do you like something else in what is a very open market with lots of big prices?
Yeah, I do like this race, Hugh. It goes without saying you can make cases for plenty, but I do think the Fav is very, very solid. Hurricane Ivor, he's been threatening to win one of these all season long. You know, he came from France to Willem Haggis, and he won a lesser race at Sandown, and since then he's just been better than the result, better than the result, better than the result. And that race that he ran in at York last time that was won by Copper Knight, you know, that could be the key piece of form here, because it looks a particularly strong piece of form. And I mean, he shaped very well in it. You know, he got messed about at the start, he didn't get the clearest of the runs, he's finished off really well, he's only beaten a length. Look, the type of horse he is, he'll need things to go right for him, but if they do, he's definitely handicapped to win a race like this. And I haven't been on board with him yet this season, so I don't feel like I'm chasing him as such, so I'm happy to jump on board right now and hope my timing is right.
Okay, it's 9-2 best price at the moment. So James, would you be in agreement with that, or is there anything further down the market that appeals to you?
He's a solid favourite, deserves to be head in the market, but it's a tricky sprint, and taking 9-2 is skinny enough. I'm going to go for one that was behind him at York. That's When the Deal is Done. Roger Teal, William Buick teaming up. This horse looked good when winning at Glorious Goodwood. He beat one of ours at Windsor on his first time at 5. I think the 5.5 trip is perfect for him. And having been on the wrong side last time at York, I think he's better than a bare form. And probably the each-way angle, bearing in mind Hurricane Ivor is a really solid favourite and probably will land a big handicap at some point. I'll go for When the Deal is Done each way.
Lovely, 10-1 at the time of recording. The 225 then is the Champagne Stakes. It's a Group 2 over 7 furlongs. And Reach for the Moon is your odds-on favourite. So 4-5 at the time of recording. Really like this horse for John Gosden myself. But Lucille is in there 6-4. So there's not a huge amount between the top two in the market. Then you have Bayside Boys 7s and Twilight Jet is 20-1. It's a 4-runner field. Which of the two favourites, I'm presuming here, James, which of the two favourites are you coming down on the side on?
I'm actually going to go for the third one in, Bayside.
Oi, oi.
It's a proper cracking champagne. I know we've only got the four runners, but the top three in the market, any of them would normally win a champagne, in my opinion. And I think Bayside Boy, he won on the same day that Reach for the Moon actually lost his maiden tag. They won different divisions at the novice at Newbury. And Bayside Boy actually ran it in a quicker time. He really picked up strongly in the closing stages, beaten fine by 3.25 lengths. And I just thought experience cost him back at Newbury last time out. That was a month later. He just lost out to Masakelo in a very tight finish. They went slow, they sprinted. I think he'd have learnt plenty. He's a cracking son of Nube. And I just think he's going to be a little bit overpriced because he's against two solid top-class two-year-olds. But I think he could be pretty good.
Okay, so the value then at 7-1 as opposed to the two short prices at the top of the market. What about you, Kev? Where have you come down on here?
I think we have the wrong Fav, don't we? Look, I know why he's Fav. He's a sexy horse already, you know, very impressive, especially, well, very impressive every day he's run, in fairness to him. Seems to be getting better and better, was very good at Sandown last time. Everyone's going to want to make him a Derby horse, whether he likes it or not, given the overall scheme of things with the ownership and what next year means, etc. But look, Lucille's a very good horse, I think. And he's very straightforward. He's an easy ride. He'll sit up there handy. He's looked like he's been ready to go back to 7 furlongs for his last couple of starts. He's got away with 6 furlongs, winning 2 Group 2s. And look, I know he has a penalty to carry, but he's really ready to get back to 7 furlongs now, I think, and Reach for the Moon. He has an awful lot of class, and he might have a bit of brilliance about him too, but I'll be impressed if he can go and beat Lucille and beat him well, because I think Lucille sets a nice high bar, even carrying the penalty, and I might favour him at the prices.
Yeah, and the Derby talk will go absolutely bananas on Saturday if Reach for the Moon does it, and with the Queen already for next year. But sure, look, we'll park that for the time being and see actually how the race unfolds. Good stuff, lads. The 3 o'clock then is the Kazoo Park Stakes. It's a Group 2 over 7 furlongs, and Lancash for Roger Varian is your 13-8 favourite. You've got 9-4 Glorious Journey for Charlie Appleby in there. Danya at 5-2. You've got Dubai at 9-1, and it's how much you like about the rest then. So, Kev, again, we've got a short one at the top of the market. Is he a decent thing, do you think, the favourite, or have you looked elsewhere?
Yeah, he looks a strong five, Hugh. Look, another kind of group race over 7 furlongs. We seem to have had one every weekend for the last month, and it's chopping up a small bit numbers-wise. But Lancash was very good at Newbury last time, I thought, you know, was held up a fair way off the pace. You know, it was his first run outside of juvenile company, and it wasn't just against three-year-olds. He was taking on all the older boys as well. And while it was 2 3-year-olds that came to the fore, you know, I thought it was a big, big run from him. Did absolutely nothing wrong in defeat. Will surely be better for it. It was his first run of the season, first run against older horses, just the fourth run of his life. I think he's potentially, you know, he could end up being a proper Group 1 horse. And if he is to be just that, he's probably going to need to go and win this. Look, it's not a soft touch by any means, but I do believe in him. I think he's very good, and I'd like to see him go win this well.
Okay, 13-8. So, James, would you agree?
I'm going to go Glorious Journey, the old boy, in the context of this race anyway. He's consistent. 7 is his optimum trip. He's always there or thereabouts. My only concern with your favourite, he went off 22-1 at Newbury on his return. He obviously ran above expectations, but what did that take out of him? Backing up 4 weeks later. So he could be a Group 1 horse. Glorious Journey isn't a Group 1 horse, but he's very solid at this level over 7 furlongs. So I'm going to stick with the Appleby runner.
Okay, good stuff. So, right, lads, the feature race, obviously, of the weekend, the final classic of the season, the Kazoo St. Ledger. Group 1 over 1.6 miles, just over that. Hurricane Lane is a very strong 4-6 favourite. You can understand why. He has done nothing wrong, really, this season. But Ottoman Empire has attracted a bit of support, I think 11-2 in from about 7-1. Mojo Star 6-1. You've got High Definition. How this horse is even still in training, I do not know. Kevin Blake, useless. And Sir Lucan in there at 10-1. So who do you like then for the St. Ledger, Kev? Not High Definition anyway. I can guarantee you're not going to say that, or you're never going to talk about it again.
Look, it's an interesting race, Hugh, and look, it's one of those. It has a feeling of there, you know, there being levels to it, and Hurricane Lane is on a different level to the rest based on what we know so far. He's been deadly, you know, in his last couple of starts, particularly last time at Longchamp. You know, he smashed up a few of these horses that are kind of in the mix amongst the rest. You know, the Mediterranean ties in with a lot of these, and Hurricane Lane beat him by 7.5 lengths last time. So, you know, his pedigree and his style of racing and everything would give you great encouragement that the extended mile 6 should be fine for him. You know, it looks like the ground's going to be on the quicker side. That I don't think that's going to be a problem for him. But look, all of this adds up to him being an odds-on shot. He's fully entitled to be. Where do you want to lash in at that type of price? Or, you know, look for a without market or an each-way market. You know, yeah. I think that's probably going to be more attractive to most people. And, you know, if you're talking in those terms, it's really, really competitive amongst the rest, because there's a whole bunch there rated around 110 that you can make a case for. And, you know, I like High Definition, you.
You do not.
I like him a bit. For a long time, this has looked like the race that would be for him. You know, like he ended up being, you know, obviously a very highly regarded horse going into the spring, etc., after what he did in the Beresford. But he only barely got away with the Beresford. Like, he was beaten everywhere bar the line. And a number of times this season, he's just looked like he wants a real test of stamina. And he finally gets it here.
In the head.
But they put the cheek pieces on him as well, which will help, I'd say. And ease in the ground would probably help him a bit more. But he's had a very interrupted preparation. I think it's tough to be harsh on him, because he hasn't had things go his way. You can be sure that Aidan going into the Great Voltigeur, he'd missed a few weeks again coming into that. He would have been using that as a stepping stone. They've supplemented him in. You know, I just could see him running the best race of his life. But look, he is rated 110. He does need to step up, but I just could see better from him. And don't forget, you know, he was only two lengths behind Hurricane Lane a few months ago, you know, after the back of an interrupted prep again. So while I can understand why some people might be losing patience with him, some people may never have had any time for him like Hugo, but I could see him running very well here, in fairness. And if it doesn't happen here, I think then it would be time to take the train off the rails for the time being. But if you've been with him so far, I think it might be tough to give up on him just before he meets the stamina test that he so clearly wanted for some time.
James, Kevin does this just to annoy me, just to get up my back. So he's achieved the mark there today with High Definition. Who do you like in the leisure, please?
Well, I'm not going to make it a double because he is one of the slowest potential Group 1 horses we've ever seen in High Definition. He will like the trip. That is the only positive he's got in his favour. And they're still stamping out the cash. Like, they've supplemented him for it. But you'd be pretty shocked if he achieved anything, to be honest. I was going to ask a question about another O'Brien horse I don't know too much about. Interpretation, he looks a bit slow, but I think he'll stay the trip. Could he do any good from the Bayador runners?
Yeah, he'll definitely stay, but they've been very baby steps with him so far, you know, which is a little bit unusual for Aidan. You know, he doesn't tend to baby step them if he really likes them. In fairness to him, he stepped up every time. Stamina's going to be no concern. Ground, I'd say, should be fine for him. But he's interesting, but, you know, if they thought he was a proper Group 1 horse, he would have been in a Group 1 by now, you'd have imagined. You know, he would have been a candidate for something like a Queen's Vase even, potentially, if they liked him that much. But, yeah, I don't know. I'd rather High Definition now. He seems to be higher up the pecking order.
Okay. He's always been higher at that pecking order. But, I thought Interpretation could be interesting. And Mojo Star, I think, is the obvious one for the runner-up spot. Forgive him at the Curra where he got completely boxed in and badly hampered. He might be the one to follow home. The favourite, who's, a cracking horse. He lost both front shoes in the Derby at Hurricane Lane. And apart from that slight disappointment, he's looked very, very good. So he's the obvious one to beat.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm with you all the way. Okay, good stuff, lads. We've two Chester quickly to go through. The 2 o'clock is the Toad Plus handicap over a mile and a half. James, Alanak is your 2-1 favourite. Pretty tight between Alnak and Alignac at the top of the market, 2-1, 9-4. You've got Throne Hall in there at 13-2, 7-1. Invite is in there at 15-2. Wells Fargo, then you can have what you like really about the rest. So who stands out, James, in this Chester, please?
Well, you've got to be careful. I'm going to go for number 3, Alunac, for Andrew Bolden. He's been in good form this season. You worry about Alignac is the fact that he's not been seen since winning a race a year ago. So that's my negative for the Sir Michael Stout runner. So I'm going to go with the proven form horse in Alunac for Andrew Bolden and David Crowe.
Yeah, the commentators are going to have a good bit of crack, Kev, with the top two in the market if they end up fighting out the finish anyway, but that'll be interesting. But who have you gone for here?
Yeah, well, Alignac was very good winning the race last year. Look, obviously, he's had plenty of problems since. But, you know, for a big horse, he zipped around Chester very well. And, look, I don't think, well, I'm sure it's been a bit of a battle against time to get him back if he's only reappearing in the second week in September. But I'm hoping Sir Michael will have him ready to rumble. You look back on that form now and it probably reads even better now than it did at the time. You know, he was only short-headed by Trushan in a listed race prior to that. That obviously reads very well now. And I'd be hopeful that if he's in good shape, that he'll be good enough to make a winning return and perhaps put himself in the mix for one of the late Group 1s.
Okay, good stuff. And the 2:35 then is the home serve handicap over a mile and six then. So Arrow of Gold with Andrea Adzini is your 3-1 favourite. You've got Mancini in there at 7-2. Noi San George at 7-1, 13-2. Hockfield at 15-2. So Kev, again, 3-1 the favourite here. It looks like an open enough race as well and plenty of big prizes. But where have you come down on, please?
That's tough, Hugh, but look, a lot of people don't like backing Mark Johnson horses because, you know, in handicaps, because they can be so in and out and he campaigns them so aggressively. But, you know, one thing you'd say about Hockfeld is he does really seem to like Chester. You know, he's run there 5 times. He's won twice. He's been placed the other 3 times. You know, one of those wins came over course and distance. He does seem to really enjoy the place. Draw, you'd ideally have liked to have been a few notches lower for sure. But, you know, they ride him all sorts of different ways. But I'm hoping just getting him back to Chester will count for a bit. And he's been blasting away grand, hasn't he? He's back down to his lowest mark from, I was going to say, for a while, since earlier this season when he won off 94. And he can certainly be competitive off 94. 26. They're taking £7 off as well, so he was my pick.
Okay, good stuff. What about yourself? Do you find that with Mark Johnson horses as well, that they're just a bit unreliable, James, or how do you see it?
Yeah, they're in and out. They pop up all the time. I thought it was going to be clever and put out Pockfeld as well, and Kevin's got there.
It's
a little bit frustrating because he was third in the Chester Cup off £2 higher at the start of the year. Johnny Pete, he's a good £7 claimer. The last three starts, he's been beat 2, 4, and 3 lengths. He's been running well in some strong handicaps. This is a bit weaker. I thought he was a bit of each-way value despite still 10 in a race when nothing stands out.
Okay, good stuff. There's one for the listeners anyway. Both come down on a nice price as well with Hockfeld. One to keep an eye on. Right, Irish Champions weekend, Saturday at Leopardstown. And we'll start with the Irish Champions Stakes. Kev, I'm just four standing the ground, but thankfully the big three, if you like, are all in there. And who are you coming down on? Say, Mark Basilica, I should say, against Tarnawa. And then you've got Poetic Flair as well for Jim Bulger. I mean, it should be a cracking race, this. Just with those three alone fighting out.
Ah, big time. Look, and you get some people moaning, oh, only four runners in it. But, you know, all the big guns are here. You know, there's only maybe a handful anywhere in Europe that would be an addition to it. You know, the likes of Mishriff, you'd love to see him there. But what we have is a properly fascinating race, tactically going to be really interesting. And we've mentioned it a few times this season. You know, Ballydoyle don't seem to be running pacemakers this season. You know, which is unusual. You know, in a race like this, you'd expect them to have a couple to push the pace and ensure that it's an even pace for all. But look, they left St. Mark's Basilica to it in the Eclipse, and they certainly didn't hold him back there. He seems to have a wicked turn of foot at the trip, so they won't mind either way. I've had a good look at it this morning. Now, what's going to make the run? And it's probably going to be Poetic Flair. Would be my best guess. Yeah. Tarnawa will have no interest in the lead, I'd imagine. St. Mark's Basilica, I think, will be more than happy to follow, no matter what's going on in front of him. You know, Patrick Sarsfield has never made the running. He'll be quite happy to sit second, I'd imagine. But Poetic Flair, who has, you know, helps push the pace on occasion, you know, I don't think they'll want to be getting into a fight with him over the longer trip. You know, he settled, I thought, better than ever last time, you know, without cover. So I'd imagine, look, and it could be totally wrong, but I suspect Kevin Manning might be happy to allow him to roll along, to settle in front and see how he goes. Patrick Sarsfield will sit outside him. Tarnawa will take the box seat in behind the leader on the rail, and St. Mark's Basilica will sit on her outer. You know, that's the way I've envisaged it in my mind. It could pan out completely differently. But look, we'll have a proper horse race turning in. Tarnawa might be looking for a bit of room. St. Mark's, you know, Ryan will be in, you know, pole position. He'll be able to decide what he wants to do from there. He'll have access to the outer. And Poetic Flair, you know, we know him. He can be very powerful off the bridle. How well will he get the trip? That's the question mark there. Like, it'll all be poised turning in. You know, which one do I want to be with? If you put a gun to my head, it's probably St. Mark's. But this is such a good horse race, Hugh. I'm not gonna need a strong opinion to really enjoy it, I don't think.
No, St. Mark's is favourite, I think, at 5-4. You can get 11-8 in places. 13-8 Tarnawa at the time of recording, and then Poetic Flair 10-3. Is that market, Ryan, about right to you, James? And how do you see it?
Yeah, I think it is, to be honest. I think St. Mark's Pacifico is the solid one, either the trio that head to market, and the fact that he's done absolutely nothing wrong this year. And the way he finished strong over the 10 furlongs in the Eclipse, for me, was pretty impressive. It was a strong field. Mischief probably needed a run on his first run since Saudi and Dubai, but it was still a strong Eclipse, and it's going to perhaps be a similar race to what he's going to face on Saturday, because he's got the four runners once again, four high-class individuals. Poetic Flair, Dawn Approach, the Stallion, he was kept at a mile after the Derby disappointment. I know the grandsire, New Approach, obviously stayed a little bit further, but he does appear very effective at a mile, and that might just be his optimum, whereas we know St. Mark's Basilica stays a 10 furlong well. I'm still not sure about Tarnawa taking on the Colts on Saturday. I felt she showed a bit of a moonish side to her on her return at Leopardstown. Yes, she won very, very well in the end in a Group 3, but she'll need to be right in her A game, taking on two race-fit, proven three-year-olds, and I think it might just find her out on Saturday.
Yeah, okay, all right. Good stuff. Cracking race, even just with the four runners in the field, as you said, and Joseph O'Brien with the outsider and Patrick Sarsfield. The Matron, Kev, is it going to be a very straightforward affair? I mean, Mother Earth, I think, is 11-8 at the time of recording. I can't see that getting much bigger as the race draws closer. Pearls Galore is in there at 15-2. You've got Akinele in there at 9-1. It's what you like about the rest, really. But is this going to be very straightforward for Mother Earth, do you think?
Oh, I don't know. You know, it's rarely straightforward now when you get a big competitive field like this around Leopardstown. She's drawn low. Look, Aidan has plenty of representation there. One or two look likely to go forward, and that'll certainly help. Because, you know, Leopardstown can be a very tricky place when they go a little bit steadier than average, if you're drawn down the inside like she is. But it looks like there'll be good pace to the race, which will certainly help her cause. Look, she looks the class act on this year's form. You have to be very forgiving to go back to the likes of, Pretty Gorgeous and Shale, based on their two-year-old form. They were well ahead of Mother Earth last year, but Mother Earth's well ahead of them this year. Look, she's been brilliant. She danced pretty much every dance this season. She's holding her form quite well. One could say maybe she wasn't at her very best in victory last time at Deauville, but I think getting Leopardstown, a turning mile, should suit her really well. You can see, she's obviously going to be quite short at the head of the market, but it's one of those. It's not dissimilar to the Ledger. I think there's plenty of scope to go fishing amongst the rest if you get a without market or an each way market. Champers Elise seems to be coming back to herself a little bit now, but will she ever be as good as we saw in this race last year? I don't quite know, but I think it's very difficult to oppose Mother Earth given the setup of the race.
Yeah, Pretty Gorgeous has been very disappointing this season. Shale too as well, after they had the best juvenile form from last year. But James, Mother Earth, are you going to stick with her, or are you like something else, a bigger price?
I think she wins, but you're not going to get much value. Opponent Plays for me would be if I had a choice between Pearl's Galore and Opponent Plays, because he's ridden most of them this season. I felt the fact he sticks with Australia Philly might be significant first run after a little bit of a break.
Yeah, I just wonder about the ground with her. She seems like very effective on soft ground, and I know she ran well on a sounder surface in the Pretty Polly, but for me, I always have her in my head that she's she really likes soft ground, and she's particularly effective on soft ground.
Okay, yeah, that's the question mark. Interesting in a race, but never after. She's just solid in that kind of company.
Yeah, okay, all right. We'll kick on to the 210 on the card then at Leopardstown on Saturday. I'm just pulling up prices here. Actually, I don't have prices at the time of recording, but it's an interesting race, Kev. My old pal Max Sweeney is in there, which I think would be interesting. Kevin Manning on board for Jim Bulger. You've got Current Option, Khartoum, Lunar Space in there, Erzincan, Horoscope, Njord for Jessica Harrington, who's been fairly heavily campaigned. You've got Thunder Moon as well. Obviously for Joseph, who I like as well. So how do you see this one playing out?
Yeah, great race now, Hugh. In fairness, like really, really competitive. Nice clash between the three-year-olds and the olders. You mentioned Thunder Moon there. Delighted to see him get a low draw. I think that'd be a help to him. If he was drawn high around here, it would have made things tricky for him. But low, he'll be able to be covered up and look to strike late, preserve his stamina as best as Shane can. But has the bounce back from the disappointing. It was a bit of a mess of a race last time, in fairness, but I wouldn't like to judge him too harshly on it. He got left out following the wrong one in the wrong part of the track, so I wouldn't judge him harshly on that. And getting back on the faster the ground, the better for him. Max Sweeney, like, he just doesn't seem the same horse on nicer ground, does he? You isolate all his form on softer ground, that it seems to stand out a little bit. I'd give a shout to Maker of Kings. He always seems to be underestimated, and he's kind of quietly climbed the ranks there. And his run to finish short, he was just short-headed by Japan in the Mels Stakes around here. That's a strong piece of form, I feel. And, even his run prior to that, the blinkers seem to have brought him nicely forward. And he always seems to be underestimated. His draw is not too bad. Jaron Collin are in super form. And this just could be the day that he kind of steps out and, shows that he is a proper horse, because I suspect he is, and course and distance would be ideal.
Okay, all right, good stuff, gentlemen. Right, that is Saturday. No, don't have no more to do with the Leopardstown, excuse me. So let me just pull up the 3:20 on the card, if you just bear with me for 1 second. 3:15 is the Boomerang Stakes, and again, Kev, if you just have it open in front of you there, I pull up the old prices. So the Boomerang Stakes here, it's the 3:15 on the card at Leopardstown. My computer is very slow. Betting,
the Innish Free would have been a big talking horse in it, Hugh. He was a very good two-year-old, and he disappeared for the better part of 2 years and made a very, very eye-catching comeback at the Curragh last time, and he was so eye-catching and absolutely no one missed him. So I suspect he'll be quite short. Given that, you know, it's Earlswood won the race and he reopposes here, you know, Innistree was 3.25 behind him. Yeah, look, he was eye-catching, but he was ultimately still well-beaten for me, Hugh. I'd always take on the likes of him when they reappear. And, you know, Earlswood, in fairness to him, like he's progressed really well for Johnny Murtha this season. I'd say he's ready to go back up to 1.5 miles now. They ran him in the Irish Derby, and he ran well enough now, but he was ultimately well-beaten. But he improved again, I think, back over 10 furlongs at the Curragh last time, and back up to 1.5 miles, he's ready for it. And, you know, he certainly has the form nudge over Innistree based on that, and while Innistree will no doubt come on, it's a lot of ground to make up, and Earlswood's got a good draw here, and I thought he'd take a bit of beating.
Right, okay, that's Saturday taken care of. Kev, I just might get your thoughts on a couple of races on Sunday, if you don't mind, at the Curragh. And we'll kick off with the first thing the card we're talking about is the Blandford Stakes there, 220. Anything stand out, please?
No, we'll see the decks tomorrow, Hugh. Look, we have a couple of Group 1 winners up at the top of the weights here carrying penalties in Love and Thundering Nights. Will they both turn up? I know Aidan was non-committal with Love when he spoke earlier this week, so I don't know if anything has changed since, but declarations will inform us more. But there's a couple of new ones that are likely to come into the mix. Paddy Toomey, La Petite Coco. I think she's very much an intended runner, and she's come up the ranks very well. Look, she was really impressive with Cork last time, but the ground was soft. Different set of circumstances here. One assumes, I know, I haven't been in Ireland for the last few days, but I gather the rain has arrived, and it'll be interesting to see how much it gets into the ground prior to Sunday. But, you know, I'd nearly rather the ones with established Group 1 form in the book rather than the Petit Coco at the minute.
Joseph O'Brien has Agatha in this one. What kind of a chance would you give that? And is it worth a few quid each way?
Yeah, look, I think the market is still very much underestimating her. Look, she was beaten quite a few times early on. That was our fault running her over the wrong trip. But since she's gone up to 7 and started forcing the pace, she's been very, very good. And looked, I thought she was really good in the debutante, which is the well-established trial for this race. She went out, she didn't mess about from the outset, and was well on top of the finish. Look, I suppose people will look to her being well put in her place by Homeless Songs in a maiden at Leopardstown a few months ago. And, you know, Homeless Songs was making her debut that day. And look, she looked a proper Group 1 filly, didn't she? She looked really, really impressive that day. So if she's declared against her, I'm sure plenty of people will look for her to uphold that form. But I think Agartha has really thrived since then, and is a better filly now. So you wonder where Homeless Songs has been. The debutante would have been a natural target for her, a natural stepping stone to this. So she missed that. So you wonder why. And Carja Gajow is also worth a mention for Gerlines. Was very impressive at the Curragh last time. But Agartha's got the form of the book. She's a Group 2 winner. And I'd stick with her.
Yeah, lovely. Okay, we'll move on to the Vincent O'Brien National Stakes then, Kev. And again, we're waiting for decks here, but a couple of interesting ones. Point Lonsdale obviously will attract a lot of attention for Aidan O'Brien. I know Charlie Appleby has a horse entered in this race as well. I don't know if he definitely is going to send over, but Native Trail is in there. But yeah, who's the one they have to beat?
Oh, Point Lonsdale. He's going to be a very, very sharp price. Look, he's looked the best 2-year-old in Europe, hasn't he? He's been very impressive. Yeah. You know, ever since the Chesham going forward, he's been absolutely deadly. For him to look, he was probably. Maritime Wings looked to be going better than him briefly in the Futurity last time, and like Point Lonsdale has just absolutely swept him away in the final furlong. I thought that was very impressive. Look, he'll have a new challenger here, one assumes, in Native Trail, Charlie Appleby, 2 from 2. The form has worked out quite well, I think it's fair to say, since we last saw him in mid-July. And look, he looks a good, solid, exciting 2-year-old, but Point Lonsdale, at the minute, looks to hold all the aces. He's an extremely exciting horse, and he's going to be a very sharp price to get the job done.
Lovely. And then the Irish St. Ledger then is on Sunday at the Curragh. So, again, we're waiting for the kind of field to tighten up when declarations are confirmed, Kev. But just give us your idea. A Search for a Song is going for, is it three in a row?
Yeah.
Well, certainly, So, I mean, would you give her a chance here, or where's your money gone?
You'd have to, you know, to be brutally honest. I was quite dismissive of her going into the race last year because she just didn't look the same filly. She disappointed a couple of times. She was pulled up at one point, and Dermot Weld pulled off one of the training performances of the season to get her back to win the Irish St. Ledger for a second year. You know, her preparation hasn't been great this season either. You know, she's disappointed twice, particularly so last time. You know, albeit over a trip, you know, much shorter than optimal for her. You can be sure Dermot Weld has trained her for this, and you know, he made me look a bit silly last year, so I certainly won't be bullishly against her this time around, but she will need to pop back to her very best, I think. Look, Dex will tell us more again. I think Joseph's probably going to run, he's certainly going to run two if not three. You know, Twilight Payment, Master of Reality and Baron Samedi, I suspect they'll all run. And you know, Baron Samedi's interesting. You know, he's been just the most brilliant horse. He won whatever it was, seven in a row there, went to America and won earlier this season over 2 miles. Decided to try him over a mile and a half last time at St. Cloud just to see how he'd get on. And, you know, I think he confirmed there that he's probably not going to be a Group 1 horse over a mile and a half, but he's still very much a proper one, overstaying trips, I feel. This, you know, I know he hasn't run for 10 weeks, but that was on purpose. You know, he hasn't had a setback. This has been the aim. So I'll be really interested in him. Big opportunity for Dylan Brown McMonagle. The owners retain him and they're going to give him the chance here in the Group 1. So big day for him. He's running away with the Apprentice Championship at the minute, and he gets on really well with this fella. So I'd be excited for him and hope the horse runs well for him. And yeah, look, it's just a proper race, this one, and I'm looking forward to seeing how it decks up.
Yeah, as am I as well. Hopefully the weather plays ball, because we've 4,000 about Leopardstown on the curve, so Irish fans back at the racecourses, which is great to see for Champions Weekend. Right, all that remains then is to get your naps for the weekend, gentlemen. James, you can kick us off if you don't mind, after waiting patiently in the wings there. What's your nap for the weekend?
Yeah, I'm going to go in the Champagne. I'm going to go for Bayside Boy. I just think he's a really nice son of New Bay. Correlating form lines, he beat Find 3 lengths on debut. Just so when he beat him a length at the Newmarket and Reach for the Moon, actually won his novice in a slower time than Bayside Boy. I think it was unlucky at Newbury to get beat by Masakela. And at 7-1, he might just cause a little bit of surprise in that four-runner Champagne.
Lovely stuff. I'm going to go... I was nowhere near the target last week with my short price double, so I'm going to go for another short price double. St. Mark's Basilica to win the Irish Champion Stakes and Point Lonsdale as well. So an Aidan O'Brien short price double for me. That's my bet this week. Hopefully they won't get up this time. Kev, how do you fancy, please?
Yeah, and probably the unlikeliest scenario of all time. I'm going to Chester for the nap. I'm going to nap Hockfield over there. I think win only as well, because we know what Mark Johnson's are like. Hopefully he clicks from the wide draw and continues his love affair with Chester.
Okay, good stuff. I think 10-1. So, gents, enjoy the weekend's racing. If you don't like this weekend's racing, I'll tell you, you're just not a fan of the sport. Cracking races, obviously in the UK and in Ireland. Please gamble responsibly as always. We're back at Weighed In on Monday to dissect everything from the weekend, so be sure to tune in for that. Enjoy the weekend.